Okay, we'll go ahead and reconvene to open session. Before we get into the report, could we please rise and have a flag salute?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can we have a moment of silence, please? Okay, report out of closed session. I think there was no reportable action. Is that a good guess?
Well, there was no reportable action for the portion I attended.
Yes. There was no reportable action for the portion that you weren't there for, so... Okay, item number 7, presentations. We have none. Public comment for items not on the agenda.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker. And as we all know, the district has refinanced its bonds, and the ratepayers will be realizing some savings, and we all very much appreciate that. But I wanted to point out some problems as I see them. Not problems, but Ms. Womack wrote a letter to the editor in the recently begun paper, the Estero Bay News, the week of February 14th. And she takes credit for saving the district $2 million, which she had no doubt a big part in that. Mr. Ohilski had a big part in that. You also recognized your staff for their part in that. But we, as the ratepayers, paid consultants nearly $300,000 to make that happen. So there's a lot of credit to be passed around. Something that you mentioned in your letter, and I don't know if you've all seen this letter that was in the paper, but if you haven't, I'll be happy to furnish one for you. You said that you had to compete with staff for staff time, and attention over a complaint over board compensation. Well, yes, I complained, but your general manager was working on a budget adjustment long before any complaint. And she said in an email to me on January 8th that when she started working on the mid-year budget, that she had asked Ann to look up all the compensation to see what was at issue with why more compensation was being used and the budget needed adjusting. So I don't think your competition for staff time was with the complaint. The competition with the staff time is staff itself hadn't been monitoring the compensation that directors had been putting in for, and in some cases, they were receiving ineligible compensation. So that is not competition with the complaint. The issue is, compensation is a stipend. Director compensation is a stipend. It is not a wage. It is not something you earn. It's something that you have been awarded by the ratepayers of the community.
Thank you. Any other public comment for items not on the agenda?
Good evening. My name's Betty Winholtz, and I'm actually from Morro Bay. Last meeting, I believe a couple of people from the Citizens for Affordable Living, CAL, in Morro Bay came and spoke with you about our sewer plant being located just outside our city limits in the county, and that they were concerned for Los Osos regarding the transportation impact that it's going to have to you during construction. And I believe they probably urged you to agendize this and talk about that with Mr. Gibson, our supervisor. Since that time, the Board of Supervisors has now scheduled a meeting for April 23rd. It's their normal meeting, but at that meeting, they will be considering consolidation of permits. So normally for our sewer plant, since it's in the county, there would have been a county hearing at the Planning Commission, then possibly before the board. There would have been a hearing before our city planning commission and possibly at our city council. And then it would have gone to California Coastal Commission. What our city has asked is that all these hearings be consolidated into one at the coastal level with no appeal. And that meeting was going to be in Oxnard, so none of us could have really very good input because many of us work. It has now been scheduled appropriately for July over at the Embassy Suites in San Luis. My concern is that you be aware of and speak about the mitigation that I think you should ask for regarding this transportation issue. So what we did was we looked at the Los Osos Valley, and that you have 15,000 average trips per day on that. You also have an average of 15,000 trips on Highway 1 because of your commuters that go into San Luis, and they use the two different routes. So if you can imagine us closing down Quintana and South Bay Boulevard, which they will be doing for several months, all that traffic's going to be thrown on LLVR. Or there needs to be some kind of mitigation down at South Bay and Highway 1. And so I'm encouraging you to look at that for the benefit of your residents and yourselves and the people that come to our town for doctor's appointments and other things, and we come over here to yours. But I'm feeling that you're not going to get a fair shake unless you stand up for yourself and for your community. And Mr. Ohilski knows about this because he's actually an agent for the party that the city's buying the property from. But regardless of that, the rest of you need to, I think, step up and investigate and see. Let me just leave you with this thought. When we had a meeting with our Quintana Business District, because they are shutting down Quintana for a year, okay, in different pieces, months, 6 months here, 6 months there. A business person directly said to our city, will you guarantee that we have a lane left open?
Betty,
and they said no.
I'll
close with the thought that if they're not going to take care of our businesses, I don't think our city's concerned about your transportation.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comment for items not on the agenda? Okay, seeing none, we'll close that. We'll move on to administrative and committee reports. Fire department report.
Good evening. George Wong, CAL FIRE, representing your fire department. For the month of February 27th to March 18th, we had a total of 72 calls. 51 of them were medical aids, one surf rescue here in the bay, one traffic collision, two fires, six hazardous incidents, six public assists, five false alarms, and your company, 15 firefighters, covered the station four times. For the month of March, we also continued local business inspections, and we have totaled a total number of 40 so far, so we're going to continue throughout the entire year. And if you haven't seen yet, please pass by the station. Captain Chesick and fellow firefighters have been landscaping, and they pretty much have redone the whole entire front of the fire station with pavers and granite rocks, and makes it look real nice. We have an old-school hose reel that we put back in front of the station so we can represent the community. But other than that, end of report.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, seeing none, move on to the Sheriff's Department report.
Good evening. Michael Manuelli, Coast Station Commander. This report is for March. Los Osos had 620 calls for service That is a 14% increase from the previous year at 541. Compared to other communities, Avila Beach had 103, Cayucas 132, Cambria 361, and San Simeon 57. From those 620 reports, there were 87 from the 620 calls for service, there were 87 reports compared to 70 the previous year, up 24%. And I was kind of curious about that myself, why there was such an increase, and I looked at it, and we had a significant increase in vandalisms, which I'll cover below. Total calls for the station were 2,053, and total reports for the station last month, 221. We had three reports of assault and battery. One of them, a 91-year-old suspect, pointed a gun at his girlfriend's son. It was a dispute between property, and he thought they were coming to threaten him. We had an unsubstantiated fight, and then a process server was reportedly pushed while trying to serve somebody. There were eight disturbance reports, various reasons. Two calls resulted in the arrest of subjects for public intoxication. Burglaries, there was one. It was not investigated. We were unable to reach the victim. Something about a wallet that was taken out of an unlocked vehicle. 13 calls for service regarding thefts, resulting in 9 reports. Shoplifting, we located and arrested that suspect. A victim befriended a transient from the area and then later suffered a loss of tools. 2 license plates stolen from vehicles, 2 different locations in town. That's highly unusual. I hardly ever see that. I don't have an explanation for that. It's very unusual. Then thefts from unlocked vehicles. We had theft of a guitar case and theft of a generator. Vandalisms, we talked about this, has probably generated that significant increase in calls for service and reports. There were 14 calls for service regarding vandalism. 11 of those resulted in reports. Somebody's been going around town spray painting a lot of different things. We've seen the blue spray paint right over here on the construction site, right behind us here, and several other areas. We don't have any suspect information at this time. Other vandalisms included broken windows, egg towels, and damage to a door. No mail thefts, 6 reports of phone scams, no loss, thankfully. A Social Security call saying they want your number and other thing. Another one was fraud department, then a call from Wells Fargo Bank and the gas company, all fraudulent, trying to get information to get to those victims' cash. Suspicious circumstances, we had 25 calls for service resulting in 3 reports. This one's interesting in that someone came up to the victim's door, rang the doorbell, started asking questions, do you want to sell your trailer and this and that, and it was completely out of the blue. We had a car blocking a driveway and a victim assault. And that's my report for the month.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We'll see you next month.
Yeah, I had a question about the tagging, but you covered it in your report. So.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, we had a lot of vehicles tagged. Based on the pattern, it appears somebody went by on a bicycle, a skates, you know, a car or something, because it was straight. If you're walking, you tend to bounce up and down. These were straight lines across vehicles. Then we had the signs. Broken windows. We had a broken window out here at the park. A vehicle was left, broken window. I don't think we had a holiday, but that's typical of kids being out of school type thing. That's what I expect to see a jump in during summertime and major week-long holidays. But I can't explain what or who did this at this time.
Okay, thank you. So, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Utilities?
Good evening, Board of Directors, members of the public of Los Osos. My name is Jose Acosta. I'm your utility Utility Systems Manager. And tonight I'll be giving you the Utility Department report for the month of February 2019. And we'll start out, as we always do, with the water production information. For the month of February 2019, we produced approximately 10.3 million gallons of water. This equates to an equivalent of about 369,000 gallons per day. And this represents a decrease in production from last year by approximately 18.65%. That's a substantial increase, almost 20% is great. Using the state's formula to calculate the residential per capita per day, for February 2019, our residential customers used approximately 49.4 gallons per day per person. That's a decrease from 60.7 of last year. So again, great numbers, great figures. Everyone's doing a great job on their conservation. Production and runtime hours by well sites. As you can see, each well site showed a decrease in production based off of last year's figures. Also, same thing is reflected in the runtime hours on the well sites as well. Moving on to the water billing information. 50% of the service area was serviced during this time, and the bills were collected for that portion of the district. And they were billed for approximately 11.47 million gallons of water. That was consumed between the period of December 11th and February 12th. And this generated approximately $225,000 in revenue. For the month of 2019, the utility crews performed all required operations and maintenance tasks. The various tasks and facilities maintained are the water distribution and treatment facilities. They conducted their monthly meter reading, completed repairs on portions of the water yard fencing damaged during the storms. They commenced the valve exercising program utilizing the newly purchased valve exercising machine. The crews were able to free up a couple valves that had previously were non-operable. And they're getting through that program more efficiently utilizing that new equipment purchased. They perform distribution sample site maintenance, cleaning, repairing, and ensuring that they're properly operating so that we have good sample stations and they give representative samples of the water in the system. They continue the residential meter replacement program. 36 meters were changed out for the month of February. Completed reports to the County Air Pollution Control District. We have to maintain our generators run hours and report how long they ran to the APCD so that way they can keep the track of those records. In the drainage facilities, they reconfigured and contracted and they reconfigured and constructed a new lid for the Bay Ridge drainage pump vault. We had to replace that pump because it went out of service a while back, and so we had to design and build a new vault for that. Below are the rain totals for the months of April through March, and as you can see, by the end of February, we were at 19.15 inches. As of this month, we've already exceeded 20 inches of rain. So that concludes my reports. Do I have any questions from the board?
Any questions? I had a question.
Yes, sir.
I've noticed with the growth in vegetation that our crews are out there weed whacking at where the water meters are. Do we charge those people for when we have to weed whack their property, or how does that work?
Great question. In the Title II of the District Code, we do stipulate that the customers must maintain the area around the meter boxes, and it gives specifics of how far. We did mail out two flyers prior to mailing out the third flyer, which stipulated we will be coming out and doing this ourselves, and there will be a charge levied to the customers.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Okay. We'll move on to General Manager's report.
Good evening, Board of Directors, members of the public. This is the General Manager's report on activities for March. General staff activities. Admin, water, and fire staff have been working on the 2019-2020 fiscal year budget. We've submitted the rough draft of the water and drainage budget to the Utilities Advisory Committee. Staff continues working on getting bids for the large asset items. There was a question last month regarding the wastewater assessment procedures, if there was any new ones. And there are new assessment procedures. Staff was given an updated procedure list, and that is attached for you to review. An update on countywide local hazardous mitigation plan. Staff has turned in the first set of forms to Wood, the consultant firm who is preparing the countywide local hazardous mitigation plan. We We have also met with the firm to discuss the forms in more detail in order to provide them with more information. The first draft of the front end portion is ready for review. The jurisdictional annex portions, which are the district and city specific, will not be ready until May. When this item comes out, we will give it to the Emergency Services Advisory Committee for their review. An update on the 8th Street grant. The district's grant submittal for the 8th Street well project was submitted for the Prop 1 Round 1 grant, and the grant subcommittee will review the grant submittals in April. We are given a date of April 22nd. Once the grants are awarded, the awardees must present their project to the Department of Drinking Water at a date still to be determined. And we're still waiting for the state to send us the new guidelines, which we have not received. Also, a question from last month regarding an update from Bruce Gibson's office on the habitat conservation plan. I was directed to write to Supervisor Gibson regarding the habitat conservation plan submittal. Supervisor Gibson returned the email with a phone call and said that the plan would be going out in April to be reviewed by the Ventura Fish and Wildlife Office. It is currently being packaged, and review takes about 3 to 4 months. It is then submitted to the Regional Fish and Wildlife Office before it goes to the Federal Registry. And this process could take up to the end of this year, and I have included, it's a, like a striped kind of piece of paper to the General Manager's report, the process of how a habitat conservation plan is, what offices it goes through, and it was given to me by the county. And the water conservation campaign for 2019, the winners for the 2019 conservation campaign logos were announced at the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce Business Expo in March. 6 winners received a $100 gift certificate from Zaxter's Hobbies and More, and one $50 certificate was given as an honorable mention. The winners will be posted throughout the year on the district's website and Facebook page. The total of $1,880 was raised through the sponsorships. $650 was used towards the awards, $65.66 for the enlarged posters, and $160 for the water drop guy, who is will be mentioned later in a different program that we are doing. The remaining funds will be used to buy banners, yard signs, and other conservation items. We plan on raising additional funds in June when we present the Video Conservation Contest Awards at a conservation workshop. We're hoping, we're planning on putting a conservation work fair together in June. Staff will bring back a plan regarding the June workshop and a possible rebate program. So I'm going to create a rough draft of the rebate program, and I'll submit that to UAC at their April meeting. I've already sent a rough draft to Director Cecenia. And below is a list of everybody that contributed, the sponsors that contributed to our to the first stage, first phase of the conservation campaign. I don't know if anybody has any questions about anything.
Yesterday, didn't the county have a meeting about whether integrated regional managed water management people, and was our 8th Street project on the agenda?
Yes. Actually, what we did yesterday, it was a really brief meeting on the stormwater plan. And then the rest of the time, we spent everybody that turned in a project, we did a short presentation, two slides and a very brief. You got 5 minutes to do a presentation on your project. So that's what we did, yes.
Okay. So it's just a presentation, no decisions about
anything?
No,
the decisions will be made on April 22nd by that subcommittee. Right. Yes. Anything else?
Well, okay. Lynette, you're going to have to stay up there for the chamber report, too.
Wait a minute. I don't think so. Anyway, I'm Lynette Tornotsky, the secretary on LOCAC. Our LOCAC meeting on March 28th was canceled for lack of any land use projects for the agenda. The next LOCAC meeting will be April 25th, and the agenda for that should be posted 72 hours before the meeting. And also, the committee meetings can also be found on our website. It's locac.info. I hope you all will please sign up for our twice monthly newsletter. Just go to the MailChimp link that's on all the pages and click there, and you can sign up and then find out what's happening with LOCAC. And that's my report.
Any questions? I will give most of the chamber report, but I wasn't at the business expo. Could you sort of give a report on that?
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, you're up. You can't walk away.
Lynette Tornotsky, the secretary on the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber. I'm just reporting on the business expo part. It was successful. And we could have used a few more businesses, but the people that showed up had a really good time. The businesses all talked amongst themselves, and they got quite a bit out of it. The kids were presented with their awards, and it was very popular. The droplet, I know a lot of people probably don't know what I'm talking about, but it's hopefully... everybody had their picture taken with the droplet. It was a big hit. That might have been the biggest hit of the whole thing. So everybody had a good time, and we plan on doing it again next year. So that's my report.
Right. I think the only thing I have to add to that, you're good.
Okay. Uh-oh. Oh, awesome. Thank you.
I guess now you're off the hook. So the only other thing I'd have to add to that is the chamber mixer is on next Wednesday at Carstairs Energy on Bayview Heights Drive from 5:30 to 7, so everybody's welcome to that. But other than that, I think that's it. Okay, with that then, we'll move on to the Fire Safe Focus Group report.
Thank you. Tom Wright, coordinator of the Los Osos Focus Group, Fire Safe Council. Let's see. Our next meeting is April 18th. Thank you. In this very room at 10 a.m. It's a Thursday. You're all invited. We have a new website. It's LOFA, the Los Osos, L-O, Fire Awareness, Fire, F-A, LOFA. It's a closed website. You ask a question like, do you live in Los Osos? Why else would you want to join? And then you get in. And we'll be posting minutes and reminders and updates and things on that. Firewise community up the neighborhood in Cabrillo Heights had a successful kickoff meeting. About 30 people showed up Saturday and got a lot of information. The neighborhood has really come together with a variety of projects, and it's a good thing. One topic that always comes up is evacuations. So if you all haven't seen one of these, you should get one. Call PG&E. They'll be happy to give you one. But in here, the calendar, evacuation information, and it spells out and what to do if you can't be evacuated, and they're the congregate care, or the carless collection points, not careless, that was my fault. Carless collection points, and they're listed here. So just get the word out. There is an evacuation plan, and it works. It has been tested. That's all I have. Any questions for me?
Nope, you're off the hook. Thank you. Okay, Utility Advisory.
Utility Advisory Committee met March 20th and had a fabulous, fascinating presentation on the Brown Act guidelines by President Ohilski.
Thank you.
We also had a Basin Management Committee update, and I will let President Ohilski touch on that later when he talks about meetings that he's been to. We had a utility department update from systems manager Acosta. We always enjoy going through capital improvement programs. Well, we did that separately, actually, this month. But we always get a good update on what I'm proud of what we're accomplishing, the things that are getting done that have been on those to-do lists for a long time. One of the hot things coming up now is a review of the water shortage contingency plan. This came up, I think, our last board meeting or two over the large bills that some people get when they have leaks and asking for relief from that kind of thing. And so we thought it might be a good time to go back and update both our water shortage contingency plan, and then the Title II language in our policies that deals with leakage. And all of this kind of is a byproduct of the fact that we are re-engaging the water rate study group. It's the third proposed increase coming up July 1st. And so just as a annual review of all things water rate related, we decided to throw some of these issues in too. The study group will be looking at the Title II language, and a lot of that had to do with some inconsistencies in our allocations that we more or less suggest as guidelines during the different water shortage categories. We're in a stage three emergency, everybody knows now. And so we're just trying to clarify some of those things. In some instances, we were using gallons per person, gallons per household per day, making some of those clarifications. We're looking at changed language to the wording that allows us to de-trigger, for lack of a better word. In other words, step back from the emergency levels that we've declared. And we're looking at changing some of that language to read that we need two consecutive years of adequate rainfall before we even think about backing off of our existing stage three emergency. So those kind of things are out there. We'll be back before utilities and then back to the board to look at those kind of changes in the future. As I mentioned, we went through the capital improvements project list. That 8th Street well is probably the hottest thing we've got going, and I sure hope that that grant comes through soon. We looked at budgets, and that was about it. Next meeting is Wednesday, April 17th, 5:30, here. Any questions?
Nope. Okay, we'll move on to Parks and Rec Committee, please. Oh, pardon me, Emergency Services, my mistake. Sorry.
The meeting was on March 22nd. President Ohilski presented a Brown Act training to the committee. It was both complete and engaging. If he can suck up, so can I. There was a discussion regarding adding the fire budget to the ESAC work plan, and Chief Wong is contemplating that, and it will be his decision. The committee members reviewed the ESAC 2018 work plan and updated it for 2019. Continuing items are review and update the SLO County Local Hazardous Mitigation Plan, promoting the Ready, Set, Go campaign, promoting the prevention and education events, safety fair, CPR classes, reverse 911, and the next town hall meeting will be sometime in the fall of 2019. Newly added items, create a community safe zone, evacuation plan, and escape routes. Create a community plan for all risk incidents, which includes wildfire, active shooter, tsunami, earthquake, flooding, landslide, radiological, and terrorist, which is pretty appalling, actually, but good to have a plan. Outreach programs for the CHP, the Sheriff's Office, Water, Sewer, County Office of Emergency Services, Community Emergency Response Team, Los Osos Community Advisory Council, State Parks, Harbor Patrol, Los Osos Fire Safe Council, Homeowners Associations, and schools and PTA. And create a social media plan to improve dissemination of information and get feedback from younger families. Some research, local capacity for response for CERT and HAM, climate change, and update the community on Roundup, weed abating, fire preparedness, recovery. Some items were removed from the work plan, and if you're interested in those, you can email me and I'll send you that list. Unless you want me to do it now.
Any questions? Now we'll get to Matthew and Parks and Rec.
Okay, Parks and Rec. We had our meeting just two nights ago, Tuesday the 2nd. We also had a review of the Brown Act by President Ohilski. And then we dove into our first topic was pocket parks. We had gotten a list of all of the properties the CSD owns. We kind of high-graded that list into some properties that had some potential. We reviewed three of those properties, which were the 12th and the Pomo, the Loma Street, and the Farrell Community Garden well site. We looked at those properties. We engaged the public to help provide some history on some of those sites, some of the work that had been done in the past, and if anybody had looked at pocket parks there in the past. So we kind of got a good understanding of some potential properties. From that, I'm going to end up making a working subcommittee for pocket parks, and then we'll also have a working subcommittee for the dog park. The goal there is to develop scope of work and potential budgets, so we know on the dog park, both of these things are most likely, well, the dog park for sure, pocket park most likely, are going to be contingent upon our HCP, which Renee updated us earlier, is still a ways off. The first step on the list she provided, which is this blue list, we're talking about making this first step right here at the end of the month. So there's still a long ways to go. But we want to be ready for that and have a plan in place so when we do have the ability to act, that we'll have a recommendation and know how much money we're looking at that point in time. The next item was that we were requested to review and make a request to the Board of Supervisors for rubber chip removal reimbursement, which during our committee meeting, we made a plan that three members of the committee are going to go on Tuesday the 9th to the Board of Supervisors to speak about this and ask for reimbursement. The next item is the HCP update. Renee already gave that to us. And then we discussed the merits of moving that meeting. Because it is so close to this meeting, anything we want to get agendized is really difficult to do. The report's hard to get done in time. So we're going to move that meeting to the third week of the month. So our next meeting will be on May 21st, Tuesday, May 21st. End of report.
Any questions? Okay, I have a comment here. I think there's some confusion here. So what I'm going to say is when we approved the work plan and we had the discussion about the chip removal, it was my understanding that the issue that came up was were we asking the committee to reimburse? So I think that what I'd like to do is agendize this for next month and have nobody go to the board until we've had a chance to discuss it with the entire board.
Okay. Makes sense.
Okay. Thank you.
So so it'll be on May's agenda?
Correct.
So I'll talk to the committee and we'll hold off until we get further direction from
the
board.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. Finance Advisory Committee, we met on Monday. So, but we figure an extra day gives us a little more time to get our
yes
together. So we had a new committee member, and then we had a Brown Act presentation by me. Oh, I've only done it five times, so I guess I'm getting pretty good at that. So then we had the minutes that were approved. The warrant register, and that was recommended for the board to approve that. We had some extensive discussion about the financial reports, and this is on our consent agenda, but what the recommendation of the Finance Advisory Committee was, that there seems to be the necessity of some clarifications that need to occur before the board approves the financial reports for the period ending February 28th. It's just a recommendation to you, but so we may want to just pull it off consent, and, you know, it's up to us to discuss that when we get to that point. But that's the recommendation from the committee, is that we pull that item until they've had a client. Because Adrian, our bookkeeper, had her baby, so she wasn't available to be at our meeting and answer some specific questions. So that was the recommendation there. And then regarding we discussed the reinvestment of the money, drainage and parks and rec reserve funds in the LAIF fund, and it was the recommendation there, too, that we pull that item, because there was a request for some additional information, and we'd like to get two things. We'd like to get a little more information about, and I don't know how to put this the right way, the security of the funds.
No, that's a different one.
Oh, pardon me. That's the next one. That's the money market. I'm sorry. Yes. My problem. But there was just some discrepancies in the numbers, and so before we move the money into the drainage and the Parks and Rec Reserve, we wanted to get some clarification so there was consistent numbers. So they've recommended that we not do the LAIF fund until after the next meeting. So Adrian would have an opportunity to provide additional information for the financial reports and for the LAIF funds. And then the last one was discussion about the money market account at Pacific Premier Bank, and the committee did recommend that we approve that. I apologize for my mistake here. Oops. So that's the end of that report. Anybody have any questions?
Can I make a comment?
Yes, you may.
So I did get a call back regarding the money market, and I know where to look to see what is in there.
Okay. All right. So
I have a question.
Yes.
Regarding F. There are three potential motions given in the staff report, and I'm wondering how an item can be on consent when there are three possible outcomes.
This was given that way to the Financial Advisory Committee to make a recommendation to us. So uh-huh. It's only one recommendation to us as to the motion.
So if they would have recommended something, then Marshall would have told you.
We were just giving the Financial Advisory Committee alternatives.
Yeah.
For what their recommendation would be, because we wanted to make sure that we had the opportunity for them to discuss different potential ways to do this. But there was one recommendation.
So out of these three, they made one they chose one.
Correct.
Which one?
No, on F, on ABCD.
Which one are you talking about?
Are you talking about F?
Yes.
Money market account.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, they chose the second one.
They chose the second one.
Yes.
The $1 million?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. To roll over the account, to roll over the CD into a money market account.
Roll the CD into a money market account, correct. Hope that clarifies it. Okay, ad hoc committee report regarding the district social media plan.
Yeah, I have a report on that. Really, it's going to end up in a proposal. The way I think that what I'm proposing to do to give us a community update once a month.
Can you guys hear him? Okay.
I'm talking right in it. Okay. Okay. So I have a plan that's what's in front of you. I want to give some background to let you know how we got there. I've definitely spent some time and reached out to Sandra at LOCAC and Don at the Chamber. Both LOCAC and the Chamber have developed newsletters that come out at different, like every other week or weekly or monthly. But they're all premised on the same idea, which is utilizing one app to handle all different social media platforms, which is what I'm proposing that we do. And that's the name of that is email marketing software. In this case, it's MailChimp. Both entities are using that. It's a good way to design templates. So it's email-based, and you develop an email list, which we have already as the CSD. The Chamber has an email list. LOCAC has an email list, which they could request, and they agreed to request, you know, send out to all of their users an opt-in so that they could click on it and sign up. We would also put a button on our website so you could sign up. And what that would do is once a month you'd get this email that is, you know, designed and is templated, so it's very easy to update. We'd make multiple templates and update those templates once a month. MailChimp is free for up to 2,000 users, and then after that point you start paying monthly. And the part that is really good about this is we can connect that, so it sends out an email, simultaneously updates a portion of our website that we choose, and posts to Facebook automatically. That way we don't spend time trying to update and maintain all these different platforms. So speaking with both Don and Sandra, there's a lot of work initially to get the template set up and everything working correctly. And then at that point, it's a matter of collecting the information, distilling it down to the message you want, and then updating all the different platforms that you choose. I talked to Dawn. She has offered her services to us, which I think what I'm saying is I am requesting a $700 budget to get set up and going. This would include the initial setup, links to the website and social media, basically creating the templates, and then 3 months of publication. So obviously Dawn's not going to provide the content we would be, but she would get those updated and cross-train CSD staff, which I'm proposing would be our district manager, to gather the information and then update the software and the application and go to Facebook and send out the emails. So that's my plan in a nutshell.
Okay. I know we can't approve the, but I got it. I know where you're coming. So we can agendize that for next month as far as the expenditures. Any questions? Okay. All right. Appoint now, Director Womack.
We have a great resource who's willing to serve on the Utilities Commission, James Bishop. He's currently an engineering geologist at Central Coast Water Board, and he was previously a hydrologist at the U.S. Geological Survey. He has been a writer of grants for research funding for groundwater projects. So I don't know if we can figure a way to utilize those skills, but that would be great. And he's excited to help out the community, and he's right there. And thank you so much. So,
great. Welcome. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Congratulations. I get to do my Brown Act presentation again now. Okay, with that then, announcement of district and community interest in reports on attendance at public meetings, training, conference, and seminars. I obviously have basin management, but does anybody else have anything?
Besides Brown Act, no.
Okay, so Basin Management Committee, we did meet on March 20th, which is 2 weeks ago Wednesday, or a week ago Wednesday. It was a relatively short meeting. We did approve our budget because we got the approval from all of the agencies that we required to do that before we could do the budget. We had an extensive discussion about some budget items that we wanted to talk a little bit more about, whether how they should be dealt with, so we pushed that off, and we're going to talk about the budget at our next meeting. Our April meeting's canceled, so we're going to talk more about some of the items about how do we calculate the county's share as far as, you know, for services that they provide and how we're going to calculate that into the cost of their item. So we did approve the budget with a few contingencies that we're going to come back later for. We had a report on the basin plan metric trend study review. We did our last round of edits, so the final report's supposed to be out sometime in the short term here. So that's being prepared. We also spent a lot of time talking about potentially setting up a joint powers authority between the various parties to the Basin Management Committee, because we may be at the point right now where we may want to have a joint power authority. And one of the primary rationale was because that the Basin Management Committee as a committee can't hold property, and we'd have to have a JPA in order for the entity to hold property. So there was a question basically about eliminating some of the carrying costs for the other entities and carrying that over to a separate entity. So that's something we're going to discuss probably for the next 6 months to a year, but it's just something that we put on the radar. Rob Miller's retiring, which everybody I think knows. So we did talk extensively about the qualifications for the executive director and what we wanted to have involved in that and how we were going to move forward with the RFP and RFQ process on that. And last but certainly not least, we talked about the recycled water contracts. There was a number of questions that were raised, not only by the district, but by members of the public who did speak to it. There was quite a large number of people there to speak about this particular item. In fact, Don Warden was there representing the Farm Bureau, talking about how this was important that we honor the contracts. So basically, the way this was left is that the committee asked Supervisor Gibson to get back to us with some answers to specific questions that were asked during the meeting. So that's how it was left. I think that's pretty much it. And then we adjourned until our May meeting. Do you have anything to add?
No.
Okay. All right. That was it. So response to previously asked questions. I do have one item that I'm going to agendize for the May meeting, because this has been out there and I think we need to get some clarification on this. So on the compensation issues, I'm going to, it's been coming up, and I know we did have a motion on how we were going to deal with this, but just I want to have a future discussion about this at our May meeting to make sure everybody clearly understands what the motion was, what the intent of the motion was, and how we're going to calculate workman's compensation, not workman's compensation, I'm sorry, director's compensation. So I'm going to agenda as for May, but that's how I'm dealing with that previously asked question. So director's compensation will be agendized in May, and that's pretty much it. So moving on, before we do public comment, I am going to go ahead and pull and continue item D and F on, D and E. I can't read, I guess. D and E, I'm going to pull those items, so those will not be on the agenda, and we'll bring those back at our next month meeting, and after Adrian has a chance to address the questions that were done. So we'll be looking at the administrative and committee reports and consent item, agenda items A, B, C, F, and G.
I would like to pull item F just for a brief discussion. I'm not really comfortable with the $1 million.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, so with that then, we'll take public comment then on items, the administrative committee reports, and item A, B, C, and G.
Good evening again, I'm Julie Tacker. And my first question, I saw a new version of the occupancy verification form on the front page of the district's website, revised in March. I'm wondering what was changed, and did the, I know the board didn't approve it, but did
legal look at the change, and why is it on the front page? That seems like, I don't know, maybe you should check into it. Questions about the Emergency Services Committee report. Work plan items were removed, and we can email Vicki to find out what those are. I think she should report that to you and ask the board for approval for amendments to the work plan, whatever those were. And then I have a question about the idea that the chief gets to decide whether the committee gets to look at the budget. Again, I think that's a board decision. The Parks and Rec Committee was looking at your district's property assets, and it came to my attention that we still have wastewater project assets, properties, Lupin and Loma, for instance. And if those properties were to be liquidated, I would think that the funds need to go towards the principal on the bond so that they benefit the prohibition zone only. There was some talk about perhaps using them as pocket parks, but again, those are wastewater project assets, and I believe the park fund would then have to purchase them from the prohibition zone owners. So maybe you want to look at that. It might be a good time to sell those and bring that principle down even further. Parks and Rec Committee is looking at park design, dog park, lots of discussion, volunteers, perhaps ad hoc committees, looking into how what they want at these places. The overarching issue for all of this is the Habitat Conservation Plan. And Ms. Osborne just gave you a small report, I believe, and I'd like to hear the Basin Management Committee report from Bruce Gibson. What did he say about the HCP? What did he say at LOCAC? What is the truth about the status of the HCP? And really, we shouldn't be continuing to draw down that fund until there's some HCP on the horizon.
Thank you.
Richard Margetson, just reminding Chuck and Marshall, I thought one of you might hit it, but you didn't. If you wanted to announce the special meeting on the 23rd.
We were going to save that till the end, but yeah.
Okay. Special meeting of finance, utilities, and whatever we're called now.
The
working group or whatever. And a nice addition to the Utilities Advisory Committee. Water Board member, Dominic, I told the gentleman that Dominic Rock was on the committee for years. In fact, Dominic was part of one of the rate group with myself, Ron, Rob, and Leonard Mutart, and that's the group that came within 1.5% of the prediction, well within the margin of error. Dominic was great. So he said he'd run that by Dominic to see what he thought, being on the committee. He won't quit. The last thing I want to talk about for a minute is the Emergency Services Committee work plan. You've heard it a million times from me. The budget needs to be on this work plan. If, for some reason, you think, as a board, that the Finance Committee is going to be able to handle that budget all by themselves without having a pre-look at it by the Emergency Services Committee, you're mistaken. And for those that attended Finance the other night, all of the things that got pulled or are up for discussion tonight didn't come from the committee finding those issues. It came from members of the public bringing them up. They're going to be totally out of their element dealing with the entire budget and the history and how things were recommended and that in the past. I know this new group is a totally new committee, but part of the reason nobody re-upped from the old committee is because you took the budget away from them. And they believe that was their responsibility as members of this community to weigh in on that budget. Not the budget from CAL FIRE, not the contract, not the numbers in that contract, the entire budget and how we fund it. That should be coming from a committee that specifically deals with those type of issues. I'm going to leave it at that. I know you're not going to do anything, and I know it's not going to happen. It's a major mistake, and I wanted it on the record.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, I'll close public comment and bring it back for a motion.
Before we do that, I guess hearing these comments reminded me of a phone call that I got this week from a member of the Emergency Services Advisory Committee expressing frustration that the budget was not going to be part of the work plan. Apparently, there were a couple of committee members who wanted the budget to be part of the work plan, and one of them thought enough about it to give me a phone call. That budget is way more complicated than Schedule A. We have reserve firefighters, all kinds of equipment that the district pays for. It's complicated. And with the turnover that we've had with CAL FIRE and the chiefs, I'm not sure that there's anybody up there with really the history of understanding just all the way back to how CAL FIRE got into the district. So no, I will not be approving or voting to approve that on consent just because it's the budget isn't part of that work plan.
Any other comments? Somebody has to make a motion or something. Receive and file administrative committee reports and approve the consent agenda. That would be the motion.
Okay, but I also heard that Chuck's not going to agree to G. Can we just go through the others?
No, we can vote, and then he could, on the consent agenda, he would just vote no on G.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, now, what am I saying?
Receive and file the administrative committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
Okay, so...
with the exceptions of D, E, and F.
All right, I move that we receive and file the report and the consent agenda with D and E removed.
And F.
And F? Oh, we removed F too?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
I did.
And F.
That's not being continued. He wants to talk about it. Second? Is there a second? Any discussion? I do have one comment I'd like to make. I agree with you, Chuck, on G, because I think having been on the ESAC or the chair of the ESAC for a number of years, I thought that it was very productive that we had that discussion. Problematically, at this point, it's up to the fire department or the fire chief to present that budget. I mean, we can't generate the budget. So what I'm going to vote in favor of it, but I would really like to see us have some further discussions with the fire chief to see if we can get that done where it becomes part of the work plan. So I agree with you, but I'm going to vote yes. Okay, with that then, we don't have a resolution, do we?
No. Do you want to do the call so he can vote no? And
okay. F's not in motion. Okay, so all in favor, say aye.
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 Aye, with the exception of G.
Okay.
Aye.
All right, so the item, the public, or pardon me, the administrative committee reports are approved for receive and file, and consent agenda A, B, C, and G are approved. C and D are being continued until May, and F. So who's going to give our F report here?
Chuck, do you want to talk about what your concern is or question? Or?
Okay, sure.
Chuck, would you like me to give the report?
Please give the report.
Okay, no problem.
I can give the report.
You want to give the report, Marshall? Go ahead.
Okay, just let me pull it up here. I'm sorry. Okay, so we had the water certificate of the CD at Premier. Pacific Premier Bank, and the recommendation is to roll it over into a money market account to receive a better interest rate. So the key to this was that we would like to go ahead and get a better interest rate. So there was a couple of three options that were available. One was just to roll over the CD, which we would get a lot less interest. The second one was to take that money to establish a money market account and roll over the CD into that money market account, roll over the CD and put $1 million into the money market account.
In addition to the 50.
Or the third option was just to do nothing and leave it all in the CD as it is now. So right now it says that the CD at Premier or Pacific Premier Bank is receiving an annual percentage yield of 1.84, which is approximately $80 a month, $960 a year. So if we roll it over into a money market account with Premier, then they'll offer us 1% per month. In addition, they will increase the interest rate that we currently receive on our Fire Reserve account, currently LAFE rate plus 10 base points, so it would be a 2.44 average. So that was the... I think that's the staff report or the report. So that's really what we're looking at is right now we're earning about $80 a month. And if we move the money over, the $1 million over to Pacific Money Market account, the water fund could potentially earn approximately $25,692.81 per year.
It's kind of apples and oranges. You're talking about making $80 a month on a $52,000 right. CD, and then you throw in $25,000 a year if we move $1 million.
Right. You want to talk?
Sure. So they gave us several options. So, again, just moving just the CD over into the money market account, we'll get about, $500 a month. If we want to, then that's fine. We can just do that, and they'll give us that rate. It's a special rate for districts, and they'll give us that. So the other option, they also gave us another option, is if we roll over the CD and $1 million, that they would match what we're currently getting on our fire reserves. So, again, we don't have to do both. The committee voted to do both because Rabobank, for instance, were the water money market. We have a money market account with Rabobank, and we're getting 0.2% there. I have asked them if they'll raise it because we were planning on moving the money if they didn't, to see if I can get anything out of them. They said no, and I've asked them at least three times. We're going to move it, and will you do it? And so that's why they said, well, let's go ahead and just move $1 million. We'd be leaving another $1 million because we have about just over $2 million at the Rabobank account, a money market account. So we'd leave $1 million there, and then we would just move $1 million over into the water.
So by moving this $1 million from Rabobank to there, we get the additional rate.
Yeah.
Rabobank will not match that rate, and then we'll get an increased rate on rolling over the CD.
Yeah.
Is that a better explanation?
Here's the one-page sheet we've got from Rabobank that talks about our balances, and right at the bottom of that, there's an advertisement for a 25-month CD at 2.5%.
So then if it we... True, and if we put in the CD, then we don't have access to it.
So it's a liquidity issue.
I understand that. Yeah. And I just think that we need more of a discussion to be moving $1 million around than two paragraphs. And I wasn't real comfortable, honestly, with the dialogue with Pacific Premier. Is that, I think they sent a representative the other night.
Yes.
And I wasn't comfortable with the dialogue going on between us and them regarding some what seemed like what probably should have been basic financial discussion that, just because it was over my head, it should have been understood, I think, by our committee, talking about commodities and what backs up the different types of accounts.
Well, that's why
No commodities.
That's
why the committee recommended approval, because that's...
They didn't.
I'm a little uncomfortable with the heavy shift to Pacific Premier. I don't feel like they've been around that long. I don't know. I'm just not ready for a million. And why a million? If moving a million's good, why not the two?
Well, we could move the two, but
let's get the whole discussion about interest rates have been rather unsteady. And lately, you know, we thought that they were going to be up, 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 and now we're not sure. There have been indications that if we'd waited for the bond refinance, maybe we'd even done a better deal. Now, it's a little early to be talking that way, but it's kind of uncertain, dicey financial times right now. And I guess I just would like a little more discussion about...
So about the bond deal, we had a bird in the hand worth $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
If, as they were talking before, interest rates went up, if they did two tightenings between when we did the refinancing and the next chance,
I know,
our savings would be $600,000. And
right.
In the meantime, we're paying $130,000 or more a year. So
okay, we're not... That's,
no, I don't want to go...
I object to that.
We did what we needed to do.
The okay. other thing is, I think she's talking about simplifying the accounting by pulling money out of LAIF so that it's only, weren't they pulling some?
The interest rate is coming from LAIF, but that's not, it was me. I didn't know.
Okay.
Yeah, but we're talking about something totally different. We're just talking about Rabobank.
Okay. And so... you don't want to do 25-month CD because you can't use it. You can't use it for 25 months. But they're actually having an interest rate pretty close to the CD rate. And yes. It's in a money market, which is liquid, meaning we can write checks off it at mm-hmm. any time.
Mm-hmm.
We could decide we didn't like them and move it back to another bank at any time. So I think what Renee is trying to do is have our money work for us and earn some interest. And I think that's a reasonable thing to do, and we can totally change our mind back. So, and I did ask to see a snapshot in time what they're invested in. And I talked to one of their vice presidents today, a couple hours before the meeting. I've been satisfied that it's mostly loans to local businesses, so the real economy. I'm very comfortable with moving forward. We could always change our mind, but making 2.2%, and that's going to fluctuate. That's what interest rates always fluctuate, mm-hmm. always. So mm-hmm. we can't condition our decision on what interest rates are going to do. None of us know what interest rates are going to do, and they're going to fluctuate. That's what they do. But right now, it's another bird in the hand situation. We can jump from 0.2 to 2.2? I already forgot.
2.44.
2.44. And, you know, that can change, but that's... on $1 million, it's actually some money.
Why wouldn't we want to move all of the money from the 0.2% to 2.44%?
I don't know. We can do that, too.
Could. That was the only reason she, we said a million, because that was her offer. She wasn't trying to look in her numbers to see how much money we had over at all the banks, and she just said, if you go over a million, you'll get more match, because that's what a fire has. They have like 1.6 or something now. She was just trying to say, if you can get it up to what the other one is, we'll give you the same deal.
So is there any reason to keep two accounts, or should we simplify it and move it all?
And simplify it and move it all, because like I said, if we decide we don't like it,
we can change again.
Yeah.
It's
what's the risk of the money market account?
That's a good question.
Well, it's
so money market's usually very low risk.
It's in a money market account now.
It's just not earning anything.
The risk is the solvency of Pacific Premier versus Rabobank?
No, because that money is collateralized, so even if they go bankrupt, our money is still there. So it's safer than that, than the institution that's holding it. It's very safe. When I'm asking questions about risk, I'm talking about a rare event. You know, just the last financial crisis, what if something similar happens and a bunch of things go bankrupt at the same time? So it's a very unusual event, but I just wanted to know what they held.
Well, that's a good question, though. If we have it in a money market account now with the Rabobank, why just don't we move it all? That's a good question. Okay, let's go to public comment on this item, please.
Richard Margetson. I'm also concerned with how the $1 million number came up. I mean, you know, what triggered that other than Pacific Premier saying that? But when a bank is offering those kind of rates, their pool of investments in loans, because their cost of funds is higher, tend, in general, to be more risky. That's common fact. It's there's a reason that they're offering those rates. They're trying to build a pool locally of money to reinvest. They're having to pay that higher interest rate. But that means they're also loaning it out at a higher rate, which means that businesses or individuals or whoever that might not qualify for a lower rate someplace else because of some credit issue in their application, maybe can get a loan with Pacific Premier at a higher rate, you know, maybe where somebody with really good credit could get, you know, 4% business loan. Somebody going through them with a little more shaky credit may go 6.5-7. The ability of everybody to pay is based on their ability to run their business. If they're already having credit issues that are causing them to go to a higher cost of funds, the possibility of those businesses defaulting becomes higher. That's why I think Rabobank is sticking with the 0.2. But and the other thing, I just before this meeting got an email, a statewide email sent out from CAR, that average mortgage rate went down 22 basis points over the last month. That's the biggest decrease in the last 10 years. These rates at 2.44 are probably not going to hold. I know you did the bond refinancing when you did it, but at the beginning of the year, the Fed was talking about no more increases. And they're talking about now maybe a 25 basis point decrease in September, October. What would the savings have been based on those rates? But that's a whole other subject. The other thing that's in here is that concerns me is, can I finish, Marshall, the last sentence?
Wrap it up. No, please.
We're now taking all of our money pretty much out of Los Osos.
and putting it in another community. Yes, they may lend over here, but, you know, the CD option, I think, should be looked at by the committee. And there should be a cash, there should have been a cash flow analysis done with this as to, hey, maybe we could put part of it in the CD because we're not using that. That's our buffer, and it can sit there for 25 months. And then maybe put the rest into a money market that's getting a higher interest rate. Okay. There's a lot that needs to be discussed here.
Thank you.
I'm real uncomfortable with all the money going to Pacific Premier.
Thank you. Okay, we'll close public comment. I am concerned about Rabobank, though, being bought out by Merchants Bank, too. So that's another issue that we have to deal with because they're now being bought out. So I don't know. It's up to you guys what you want to do here.
So what was the recommendation from the FAC on this?
The middle option to move the $1 million from Rabo to the money market.
Roll the CD over,
and an additional $1 million from the money market account. From
so
that
you'd have $1 million in Pacific Premier and $1 million in Robobank, and about, then roll over.
There,
the
I think
CD.
There's like 1.9 in the Robobank. Close. So yeah. About nine. Yeah. Yes. Either way, just to mention that the CD, it matures on April 18th, so we definitely, bare minimum,
need to do that.
At least roll that over. I would please request that. But the additional is whatever you guys want.
Mr. President,
yes.
It's not my lane, but I feel compelled to ask a clarifying question because as I look at the average rate on the account for the fire department fund, and it does have an average annual rate of 2.44357%.
Right.
But I thought I heard you say a monthly rate of 1%.
That's for the CD.
The CD is the 1%. Yeah. It's the
1% per month.
Yes. If we roll the CD over into the money market account, they'll give us 1% a month.
Would that be 12% a year?
No.
No.
1% annualized. It's annual.
Annualized. Well, right. See, when I heard you said
no.
1% a month. As if they're going to pay monthly on an annualized percentage rate that right now would be 2.44%, mm-hmm. And it'll fluctuate based on LAIF and the bonus points they're going to pay over LAIF.
No, that's if they do the additional million. So if they only do just the rollover, we'd be saying $500, what we figured out to $529 a month if we just do just the CD.
Okay, we have to come to some conclusion here on what you guys want to do. So what do you want to do here?
I'm okay with rolling the million over plus the CD or $2 million. Either way is fine with me.
Is
that a motion?
No.
I thought
we
were still discussing.
Yeah.
I think we do both.
Do both. Million in Rainbow Robot. Yes, and $1 million in Pacific Premier.
Thank you.
That's what the committee's recommendation was.
Yeah, I agree with the committee. I think putting that money there, not moving all of it, makes sense to me.
Okay. Somebody's going to have to make a motion sooner or later, like now.
I make a motion that we adopt.
Can you guys be quiet, please?
Those three things and the resolution.
Items 1, 2, 3 on Resolution 2019-11 to move, roll over the CD and transfer $1 million from Rabobank money market account to the new money market Pacific Premier Bank account.
I'll second.
So that would leave us with approximately, I'm looking at the statement, 969,000. $992.70. I was trying to generalize. Okay, any more discussion at this point? Okay. Do we need a roll call vote? Yes.
Yes. Director Forcroy?
Yes.
Director Womack?
Yes.
Director Millage?
Yes.
Vice President Cesania?
No.
And President Ohilski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, with that then, we'll move into closing our future agenda items. I did...
The director compensation.
There's two items I want to talk about.
Yes.
The CHIPS, and then I want to talk about the director's compensation. So those are two future agenda items.
And the media report.
And the, oh, pardon me, yeah, and the social media also.
Yes.
So those three.
Yes.
Okay, closing board comments.
I guess I just wanted to make sure it was clear that President Ohilski and I did not coordinate our outfits tonight.
I was noticing that, but I wasn't going to say anything. But it wasn't a Brown Act violation because there's only two of us.
I had a question. Did we release our press release?
Yes.
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 No comment. Okay, well, thank you, everybody, and we'll see you in May. I'm going to announce the special meeting. I'm sorry. I unadjourned us. I'm just... So, what day is that again?
Actually, it should be 5. I'm not sure why it says 5.
April 23rd at April 23rd at 5 p.m. at this location. We're going to have a joint meeting of the Utility Advisory Committee and Financial Advisory Committee to discuss water rates. So with that, then, we'll adjourn.